Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Best Hang Podcast featuring Max Kerman, Shane Cunningham, and I am Mike Bierman. Welcome to the Best Hang Podcast. I'm Mike, we got Max, we got Shane, and we got all three of us together in a room.
Let's go.
In Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Woo. Maxie's back from tour. Shaney's just in my presence, as he always
heavily
is.
Medicated.
Heavily medicated.
They
cruising.
Doubled my dose.
Really?
Did they actually?
They double. Well, yeah.
How are you feeling? You had a different glow about you today when I saw you in the hallway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I guess I feel good.
Good hair flow, too. Are you growing it?
I'm trying to get a cut.
Mm.
It's hard to get into a barber.
Yeah.
So, yeah, how's your productivity going?
Good. Mainly book productivity, I want to
say. Oh, so you're reading more books?
I'm reading like a book a week.
Come on, really?
I read a 100-page script in a train ride.
Wow.
Normally, that would take me a week.
Jeez.
Maybe a month.
Oh, my God. Okay, so any side effects? Because that sounds good.
Well, this is used to treat narcolepsy also. So, my sleep was shit anyway, but I was in a good cycle where I didn't need to take... melatonin to go to sleep, but now I'm back on the melatonin to go to sleep. So,
oh, it's keeping you up a bit.
A little bit. It's a little bit harder to sleep. But besides that, I'm sending way more emails a day.
Like, wow.
Maybe like quadruple my email output. And I hate sending emails. I hate reading emails. I'm just like firing them off.
It's all spam. I am the prince of Nigeria. I have a great business opportunity.
Because I did get an email like, that seems like a scam.
Yeah.
Where I got invited for an evening to hang with Nicole Kidman, which seems like a scam. And it's like,
sent by Keith Urban.
It's like Omega would like to invite you to an evening with Nicole Kidman.
Wow,
like, what's Omega? That sounds like a scam thing. Apparently, it's a high value watch, similar to a Rolex. Some people like them better than Rolexes. But I've been invited to this New York City thing to hang out with Nicole Kidman. Like George Clooney might be there.
5,000 of her friends.
No, it's like 200 people.
Wow.
I saw the thing you did with Will Forte. Uh-huh. And
one of those.
It looked like a
it's like a gala. Like your guest at a gala.
How did you get in? Was this because of the success of the dessert?
Right?
Or was it? I think it's a mistake.
Oh.
So I think I know why, but we're going to plead ignorance and go.
That is awesome.
Wow.
You know, Unzi, to our buddy Matt Unsworth, told us the funniest story about him getting into university. Did he ever tell you the story?
I think you've told us on the pod.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's hear it.
Okay,
well,
let's go.
I've forgotten it.
Quickly, basically, he didn't have the grades to get into UBC. You think you need like an 85 to get in. His mark was like a 65 or something like that. But he got an early acceptance. And he's like, how did I get early acceptance into UBC? This is a dream. So he calls in and he realized that they've sent the acceptance letter to the wrong person. So he fesses up because he's like, sooner or later, the charade will be up, but I should just be honest. And then the person on the other line of the phone, this is like pre-email, I think, or something. This is like 2001, 2002.
That's not pre-email, but yeah.
Whatever. the guy's like, I've never heard of this situation before. Let me pass you to my superior. And then the superior's like, I don't know what to do, but let me pass you. The call keeps going higher and higher until he talks to the dean like 2 hours later on the phone.
That's
and the
funny.
Dean's like, well, I guess if we told you can come, you can come.
It's so
that's
weird.
The best.
And then he's like, I promise I'll do good. And then he was there for like 3 years. Okay. Speaking of celebs, yeah. I was a couple of celebs this weekend.
Will Forte?
Well, yeah. So we were
Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah. We were
God
invited. Weird Al.
Ted Danson.
Did you see the Weird Al thing?
I don't care as much about Weird Al.
Really?
Not that he's not
what
huge.
What about Ted Danson and Mary Steenburgen?
I think Will Forte and Ted Lasso are way bigger.
I think Weird Al is an icon. To many people. I think
was he big to
Weird
you
Al's the
up,
most
though?
Famous guy in that room.
That's interesting. More than Ted Danson? Power
yeah,
rankings.
I do think so. So I think he means more to more people.
But to you, does Weird Al mean a lot?
No.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I'm very influenced by this great piece in New York Times that was basically talked about Weird Al and his career and what he means to people and his. Anyway, I really buy into the idea that Weird Al touched people in a good way. over the last 30, 40 years in a way that like has reached more people than SNL comedians.
Okay. But
no, Jason Sudeikis is the most famous guy in that room.
Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ted Lasso is huge, but Weird Al. So
no, but I think Weird Al's a fan more like Sudeikis right now.
Yeah.
In popular culture, but there's a lot of people who didn't watch Ted Lasso. Like big comedy doesn't reach the same amount of people as it did 20 years ago.
Yes. But Michael Jackson says, beat it. Weird Al says, eat it.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not as impressive as making a show like
impressive.
Ted Lasso.
We're just talking about recognition,
yeah.
Like name, fame. Brand, face. Like if you were to like put up Sudeikis' face versus
okay, well, in
Weird
that
Al's
case,
face.
Carrot Top's the most famous person because Carrot Top is so recognizable. His look, everything about him, he'd probably be more recognizable than Will Forte, but he's not as famous.
It seems like you're diminishing a bit of like what Weird Al does too with his parody songs and like being a pioneer of the genre in the 80s.
If
and becoming,
I can do
like,
it,
gold records.
I'm not as impressed if I can do it.
But you can only do it because you.
The Weird Al, he paved the way.
You can see it and emulate it. He's a guy that sort of created a genre and like this whole thing that people have been doing for 40 years because of what he did. He became famous for parody songs with clever lyrics.
They
are really clever.
They are. And I think they speak to people. Like I think the proof is in the pudding. And I think, we can do them now.
Yo, try to write Amish Paradise, bro. Like that shit is unreal.
White and Nerdy is pretty good too.
Yeah.
Mike, you don't think you could write White and Nerdy?
I think I could.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
Could you write Amish Paradise, though?
I haven't listened to it in a while.
All you do, you take Gangster's Paradise and you replace it with a different word.
As I walk through the valley where I harvest my grain, I take a look at my wife and realize she's very plain, but that's just perfect for an Amish like me. You know I shun fancy things like electricity. At 4:30 in the morning, I'm milking cows. Jebediah feeds a chicken and Jacob plows. Anyway, I can
see. So you love Weird Al. I didn't know that.
We listened to Weird Al in our family car.
Yeah.
Over and over again. It was actually the first big concert I ever went to. 1999 Air Canada Center. He played half ball.
That experience is very common.
My kids love Weird Al.
This
right
is what
now.
I'm saying. And that's now in 2023.
Your kids love Weird Al?
They're obsessed.
I think that's why.
Three and five though, you know.
But think about all the 3 and 5 year olds of the last 40 years.
That's a lot of people. Yeah, I don't know, man. I think he's the most famous guy in that room.
Man. Well, I'm not saying I don't respect him. I'm just saying what he does. I feel like
who do you respect the most in the people in that room then?
I respect the most Will Forte.
Will Forte, nice.
Yes. Because I have him on a pedestal.
Will was so funny. He was great.
Then Sudeikis. And then who else? There was someone else.
Ted Danson. Mary Steenburgen were in there.
Yeah, they're legends, but I don't have them on a huge pedestal. Because Cheers wasn't in my era.
Who was there that we didn't see on your Instagram?
Well, I'll get there in a second.
Okay, give us the whole setup.
Right, no,
start from the start,
okay,
Max.
So basically, Olivia Forte, Will's wife, is on the board of the Boys and Girls Club of Santa Monica, Los Angeles. They have this big gala dinner. So not that this is that important, but our LA show was supposed to be on Sunday. Our tour bus broke down before we could make the final show. So I had press to do anyway in LA. So we sent the entire band and crew home. Our gear had to be shipped to Edmonton because we have to do a thing in Edmonton next weekend. And Ash and I just went down because we're like, we have a thing at Live Nation. We have a bunch of meetings that we're going to go to.
Ash, who's in the room, were you excited to go to LA or were you like, I kind of want to go home with the rest of the band? It's been a long tour.
It was fun either way because we already had the plan. So it's like whether you're tearing, how many things do you tear down? How many things? Like we're already geared up to be doing a bunch of stuff and we were looking forward to a lot of it too.
So you didn't want to go home with the group. You wanted to stay in LA or go to LA.
Yeah. I mean, it was two more days until you get home. So gotcha.
Did you contemplate Max at any point, like leaving with the group? Were you like, nope, I'm excited to go to LA?
No, I mean, it's different kinds of work. And we were like this, you know, 12-headed army for the previous month.
Yeah.
So the idea of just doing something just with Ash and being in sunny California as opposed to the rainy Pacific Northwest, I was like, oh, this would just be a different thing. It'll be a nice way to sort of end the run. And I think what happened was Tim, our buddy, Tim McAuliffe, and Jess go to this event every year.
Yeah.
And they couldn't make it. They had something to do on the East Coast. So I think we were the fill-ins, which is great. So,
did you initially think the ask was for you to play at the gala?
No, Olivia, we just know that she's involved in this organization.
Will you duet with Weird Al?
I would love to.
Well, you clearly know the lyrics.
Don't get me wrong. There was a period of time when I was like, are they going to need my help? And then I started, and then I had these like visions of like doing Dancing in the Dark and leading the entire room or something, but that never
happened. Did you actually have that fantasy?
I have
weird
fantasies
all the time. It's nice to know that even at your level of success, you still have those delusional fantasies.
Of course. I think every guy like me has delusional fantasies in any room he walks into.
Like just like if things break the right way, like if I have to be asked to do something.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, that's with A-listers. 100%. And Weird Al, who's like an A-plus lister.
Yeah.
I didn't
even know Weird Al was going to be there. I didn't even know what they were.
Weird Al.
Yeah, I didn't understand exactly what the context of like the performance part of this gala dinner would be. Then Ash came back to the table at one point during the dinner. Like, I'm pretty sure I just saw Weird Al in the bathroom. Like, what's going on?
Oh, man.
He is weird. How weird is this,
but
man?
It's actually kind of more exciting. I went to the bathroom and I texted you, Weird Al's in the bathroom. And you wrote back, stop. So you love
to be clear, they had like men, women.
It was sort of like a room and then other rooms.
Got you. Yes.
Yeah, and you don't miss him.
Did he nod at you? Did he acknowledge? Like,
well, there's a restaurant connected to the church where the gala is happening, and you can't miss Weird Al. So I thought if he was a part of this, we'd know. So he must just be eating dinner.
Oh, so he's
not. He wasn't billed.
Is he tall? Because that was my speculation when the Daniel Radcliffe movie came out, that it's like he felt too short to play Weird Al.
He was very tall and like kind of like hunched over. Like he was like too tall for the room.
Is he taller than Max?
Yeah, because he seemed to be about the same size as Sudeikis and Forte, and I'm probably around their size.
Gotcha.
So it was cool. There was a former NFL star, Andrew Whitmore, who was being honored for like a lifetime achievement with the Boys and Girls Club, or the Man of the Year, Person of the Year, because he used to be a kid at the Boys and Girls Club, and he gave an amazing speech. Like, usually athletes are kind of shitty at speaking. This guy's speech was like, are you the president of the United States? Like, really, really good. And
future in the talking circuit.
Yeah, honestly. Sort of, yeah, very inspiring. So in the cocktail reception area, before we went in to sit down, Olivia kind of grabs me. She's kind of bopping around the room talking to everybody. She's, oh, hey, I want to introduce my friend. Go talk to them. Talk to this guy. He's also Canadian. So I'd seen this couple, and they kind of look like, from across the room, they sort of look like somebody. Like, they, you know how this is like, oh, you look just kind of famous or something. But so I'm like, oh, you're Canadian. Where are you from? He's like, Toronto. I'm like, oh, cool, me too. Like, he's like, really? I was like, yeah, right downtown. College in Spadina. Grew up right there. Where do you grow up? New York Mills and Bayview. I'm like, oh, that's where my mom grew up. What high school? New York Mills Collegiate. I'm like, my mom went to York Mills Collegiate. What do you do? He goes, fitness. I'm like, oh, cool. Like fitness stuff? He's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. What about you? And then I point to his wife. She's like, I'm from Vancouver. I'm like, I was just in Vancouver. We just had this like, this. We were there for some stuff. And then I was like, what part of Vancouver are you from? And she goes,
are you human? I'm a human.
And she goes, Point Grey. I was like, I was just in Point Grey. Jew?
You said that?
Yeah.
Did you really?
And she goes, yeah. And then I'm like, do you know Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg? They're Point Grey Jews. She's like, I do. I was like, do you know Nathan Fielder? She's like, I carpooled with him in high school. I was like, Jesse Cruikshank? She's like, yeah, of course. I was like, because for our listeners, Jesse Cruikshank, Nathan Fielder, Seth and Evan all went to the same high school and we're all in the same improv team, which is utterly insane. She's like, yeah, I know all of them. I was like, oh, I was at a fundraising benefit at a Jewish guy's house in Point Grey 2 days ago for this fundraiser thing that I was doing, that the band was helping out with. Do you know Dave Barnett? She's like, I know Dave Barnett's brother or sister or something like that. I was like, this is crazy.
This is a hell of a conversation you're having with these people.
And then
they're mostly quiet. Yeah, yeah.
And then I go, back to the guy. I'm like, what do you do again? What do you do? He goes, fitness. I was like, oh, yes, fitness. Okay. I'm in a band, fitness, cool. Anyway, and then
was it someone? Was it like Richard Simmons?
Well,
was
then, no. Then, yeah, is there well, like then a... basically, I'm like, okay. And then they're like, okay, we have to go. And then they just kind of walk and stand like 5 feet over there.
So did they not like you? Is that well,
then,
the...
And then anyway, so I'm like, okay, whatever. And then I'm walking away. Ash is dying. She's like, the whole time, I know exactly who this is. This is a very famous person. And it's funny. I pulled people and like, probably 60-40 if people like know this famous okay. person. She's like, it's like saying like to Dr. Oz, like, what do you do again? Doctor. Oh yeah. What's your name again? Oz. Like you kept on asking what he does and he kept on saying fitness.
We need to know.
Trying to think, can you give us a hint?
So basically,
it's Arnold Schwarzenegger. No, that was my first guess.
And maybe you don't know him, but also there's a very good chance you don't know, but there's a celebrity trainer who is known to reform bodies of the stars. Most recently, if you were to Google his name, he has to disassociate himself from Kanye West for anti-Semitic stuff. Mm-hmm. But he was also like a correspondent on Oprah. He had his own like signature diet, the 5-factor diet.
That ring a bell?
Is this guy taller, like 6'3"-ish?
No.
Okay.
Okay, maybe you don't know him. But
no, anyway, say his name.
Harley Pasternak. Do you know this guy?
I don't.
I have no idea.
So interesting. So like I quiz like other friends, like Fruchman knows him. And
he's a ripped guy, dude. Though. He's like, yeah. He's a gym dude.
But anyway, and then he ended up sitting at our table.
And did he warm up?
You know what? It turned out that he had food poisoning.
Oh,
yeah. Jeez. But and by the way, yeah, he was very friendly. It was more just point of the story is me just being an idiot.
How'd you find out he had food poisoning?
Well, what happened was everybody at our table who knew who he was like, it's kind of, is he going to eat the bread? Is he going to eat the bread?
Yeah. That's funny. Watching like, what he consumes. Yeah.
And then he didn't really eat anything. And then he had to leave. And then it turned out they had food poisoning.
That's my favorite part. On the Point Grey tip with Seth Rogen, you were implying via that he maybe could have met Seth Rogen. So you were like, oh, any chance, like sort of motioning like through your wife, you reshaped Seth Rogen's body? And he was like, I did.
Like, really?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, any chance you've ever worked with Seth Rogen when he did the superhero movie? Reshaped his body. He's like, I did do that. I was
like, oh my God.
That's my work. He shouldn't say he's in fitness. He should say he's in sculpting.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
He's an artist. That's really funny. I do love those interactions or hearing about those interactions, even just in the retelling, I was shrinking a bit as I was.
I think that's the sweet spot where you want to be because I feel like with famous people, they get treated with such, you know, like
reverence.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think it's more fun to treat them all like you don't know who they are.
Yeah. Well, you're coming by genuinely too. Yeah. That's the thing.
Would you ever do that if you knew who they were?
Like as a strategy?
Ooh, good question. Maybe I will start to do that now. Maybe the thing. Act.
You should join Shane at the Nicole Kidman Gala. Yeah. Oh
my Sorry, God. Who are you?
What's that accent from? Yeah. Yeah. Did you control the guest list? Are you a friend of Shane's?
Yeah. Do you work here? So then, okay. So then we're leaving the event and Sudeikis is there and he's waiting for like a car or something like that. And I was thinking-
Solo?
What?
Was he there on his own?
He was there on his own. Okay. Yeah.
Just wondering if maybe he's found love again.
No. Right? He was there just with maybe the bodyguard or something by himself. I don't know. So then I'm like, I want to say something to him. So then I was like, I got it. So I go up to him because we're leaving. Like, hey, I'm a friend of Will's. And also I just want to say that I'm also a friend of Nick Nurse. Because Sudeikis is a big basketball guy.
Yeah. Are they both from Iowa?
No, Kansas, Iowa.
That's okay. They're the same part of the country-ish.
But Nick has told me that he loves Ted Lasso so much because it reminds him of his own story going to England and coaching basketball, fish out of water, just like being a Midwesterner in the UK.
Yeah.
And he kind of lit up. He's like, oh, that's really cool. I was like, yeah, you know.
Did he know who Nick Nurse was? Yeah, I know he's an NBA guy.
Yeah,
he knew. Played in the celeb game and stuff.
Yeah, no, he definitely knew. And he was very, very friendly. So I was proud of myself for that.
That's a good interaction.
So then the next day, Ash and I, there's a part of LA, kind of middle of the city, called Larchmont Village. And it's just this like one kind of strip. It kind of reminds me of like Bloor Street West. Sort of like if you were to go to like the Annex sort of thing. There's this one ice cream place in the middle of the stretch that we like to go to. So the Uber, instead of dropping us off right in front of the ice cream thing, I was like, no, drop us off at the bottom of the street because I just want to walk. Do the Larchmont walk just because it's like kind of it's just a nice stroll and you're in an Uber so much in LA. So we get out
And then you make Ash carry you.
She would do it.
It's like a little baby Max.
Take me. Take me to ice cream. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating. Probably 50 yards ahead of me. I go, that's Bill Simmons.
No way.
And then, okay. And then Ash goes, that'd be crazy. I'm like, no, it is. And my friend Ryan Spraker, who's a Boston guy, who's Arkell's producer, he has told me, I always see Simmons walking around Larchmont. So then we're pulling up, we're getting close. Is this like, keep in mind, this is now like Sunday afternoon. And I'm like, it's fucking Bill Simmons, fucking Bill. And keep in mind, for
solo?
Our listeners,
he's solo?
By himself.
Gotcha.
And I've spent more time listening to the voice of Bill Simmons than maybe anyone else's voice in my life. Like probably outside of Ash. Like I spent
going back to like 2006 maybe or something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, how much have we consumed Bill Simmons?
And we still talk about Bill Simmons. Yeah. And also Ash listens to all the Ringer stuff.
The movie ones, the rewatchables.
Like we're texting about Bill Simmons. Yeah. So it's like, it's kind of crazy. Of all the celebrities we've mentioned on this podcast already, he might be number one for me. Like in terms of just like the impact in my life.
Bigger than Weird Al.
Yeah, bigger than Weird Al. Yeah.
But they both play a mean accordion.
So...
Simmons, so stupid.
Yeah. So Simmons, okay, he pulls up. He's drinking
Weird Al right that joke. Go on.
He's drinking this like large iced coffee thing, and he's got his wired in iPod headphones, like the old school ones. He's not wearing AirPods. He's got his hat sort of like dangling off his head. Who's he wearing a hat?
Was like a floppy dad hat.
Yeah, floppy dad hat. And he's wearing sort of like a very like mint green t-shirt, and I just go, Bill, big fan. And then he just kind of stops and he stares at me. I'm like, she's too. She likes you too. And he's like, oh, I'm Bill. Good to meet you. And I'm like, Max, good to meet you. And I'm just sort of, I'm
so
like,
so the one guy that probably would have a chat in this moment on the street, you freeze.
I fucking froze. And then he was like, okay, well,
Nick Nurse story, nothing. Jamming in a famous band.
You should have got a photo.
Goodness.
And then he put his headphones in, turned around, and then I was like, photo, Bill. And okay. Then he just kept walking.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't get the photo.
Photo. So I was like, and then I was just kicking myself because there could have been so many natural ends. And I'm the best at that.
Oh, that's my one podcast. He has a podcast network.
Okay, what do you say? Like when you run it should have gone, what do you say to him?
I would have said, hey, I'm in a band, but I'm a friend of Nick Nurse. He's used Nick for every entry.
Well, Nick, he's a sports guy.
I'm the best
guy.
At ends.
Yeah.
Bill's the sports guy. So that's his nickname. That was the end.
I know.
And he would have seen the clip of Nick jamming, and they all made fun of the guitar on the pod.
And
you know,
I've emailed
back in
Sean
the day.
Fennessy about other shit, who's obviously is like second in command there, et cetera.
Haji.
So they've talked about Max bringing Nick Nurse on stage to play guitar.
No, Nick during the playoffs would get off the plane holding a guitar.
Oh, okay.
That photo had been talked about in wider NBA circles.
Anyway, I just totally froze. I'm just kicking myself. But it was so cool. Like,
jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there anybody like that for you guys that you're like, okay, this isn't necessarily like an obvious.
Well, here's the thing. Uh-huh. Simmons, I've listened to a bunch, but I don't like revere him in a way that's like, if I saw him on the street, he's like a media guy. Like what he's done is remarkable, but it feels very plausible. Like, you know what I mean? Things break the right way. He's just a content creator that spoke on a podcast. He built that into sort of this empire, blah, blah. What he's done is very sort of remarkable, obviously. But I wouldn't see him and think he's any different than like running into certain execs at Bell or other places.
Interesting.
But if it was like someone like Paul McCartney or like someone, you know, you mentioned earlier, Will Forte, who you respect, like interesting, weird comedy stuff that feels sort of like, oh, wow, like, how did they think of that? How did they do that? I know how Bill Simmons does his trick. So it'd just be like, oh, there's like a really rich guy that built a company with his sports opinions. And I think that's awesome. And I respect the hell out of him. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's not unique in a way where it's like, he's a guy I could get a beer with and have dinner with and not be intimidated.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, totally.
Whereas like if it's Paul McCartney or some like song like writer or amazing director or someone that wrote some script that I'm just like, Jesus, like you're like what you're doing feels very unique and risky or like weird or like not everyone would have thought to do it.
Yeah.
I think he just sort of like became very successful based on like a format that had existed. And he sort of, you know, he is a pioneer too, obviously the sports
guy, pioneer, time
with
and place
the, yeah, with the internet and becoming, getting his, you know, ESPN thing. But anyway, so Bill's not that way for me, but I get that for you, it's like, he's in my ears all the time. And you know, there's that guy.
I also think that with Simmons, the It's so funny because you're right. He doesn't have this mystical quality that a lot of artists that we revere have.
Watch yourself.
Sorry.
That was mystical? That's
yeah.
good.
is that a Bill Simmons impression?
I like how you still give me a little chuckle not knowing what the hell he's talking about.
Like, there's times in the dynamic between Russillo and Simmons where Russillo will kind of like subtly.
Oh, 100%.
Because Bill, you know, Bill's a little older and he's just like, he's the boss.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like. Yeah, he just has that boss exec energy to me more so than like, yeah, anyway.
No, you're totally right. But I do think there what he's sort of been able to parlay one thing to another is remarkable.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. And he's done it with the same spirit of the thing that I like in our friend group, where he just is only kind of doing stuff with his friends.
Yes.
He's making stuff. He's sort of fearless.
But don't people think he's an asshole?
I'm sure some people think he's an asshole.
There's a couple hit pieces over the years.
Yeah,
I think anyone that's a boss that starts a big company like that is going to. Things are.
Oh know. My God. Yeah. I what was.
Have like detractors, not to absolve, because some of the, you know, allegations about opportunities for people and minorities, like there was a really serious things. And those were things in that. There was like, I think, a Times piece about it.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Actually, on that tip, I did you guys read the Hasan Minhaj piece? From
I did, couple? Yeah.
About how he's not truthful in his stories?
And actually, you got me thinking, because there was complaints made by some of his staff that he wasn't the most like, you know, open-minded as a boss, or he wasn't the most like encouraging.
He kicked his fact-checkers out of the room.
He kicked his fact-checkers out. Which is, by the way, also kind of like, sometimes if you got to be writing jokes, you don't want the wet blanket going, well, that's not actually true.
Yeah,
like,
I'm also like slowing down the process.
Yeah, which I also kind of agree with. But basically, to your point, if you could become big enough, you will have detractors. Do I even need detractors? I'm becoming pretty big.
We're starting a second pod where we just talk about our grievances. No, I don't know.
What is your take?
Are you aware of any detractors?
I'd like to think I'm a benevolent.
You're
boss.
Not big unless you have detractors.
Yeah, you probably
have
a lot
of detractors. You probably have a few.
You never, if you're so big, you never hear of your detractors.
You're not playing arenas without a few.
I'm sure there's a few over there. Actually, though, speaking of that, so we put out this Instagram story that about our song "Life Is" and what inspired the writing of it. And
I saw that.
Yeah, and part of the inspiration for having me to pick up the guitar in the first place was this. This obituary that I read in the paper in the Globe and Mail back like not this past September, the one before.
Do you read the obits like sort of just as a
I never read the obits
process?
And I'm actually a terrified
to
of the
get
obits.
Lyrics. Yeah.
No, I usually hate the obits.
So what led you to this obit?
This wasn't an official.
Obits. That's funny.
Yeah, that's the name of this episode. Yeah. No, it was in the proper part of the paper, not the obituary section.
Somebody bought space.
Oh,
maybe?
Transcended the obit.
Well, it was written by Michael Ignatieff, who used to be the former Liberal Party leader, about a young staffer who's my age who passed away of brain cancer. So that's why it was like more. So really, but it made me think of my own mortality and what I want out of relationships. So in the swipe, I posted a little thing of the article. I got like the digital copy and I made it part of the piece that I put together. One thing led to another and Justin Trudeau just shared it.
Shared your thing?
Yeah, because it was a liberal staffer.
Your story.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Anyways, if you didn't have detractors before.
Yeah, and then of course, like inevitably, there's like people that are just like, anytime you're attached to a Trudeau tweet, people are like, well, why didn't you do this about this?
Well, you shot all those vaccines up your ass. Then you do this. This is a double whammy.
That Buffalo story is still the best.
Oh my goodness. But
anyway, back to Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to know what you guys think about this because do you want to explain to the listeners what the, if you can recall what the issue was?
Yeah, sure. There was a big piece. Was it that the Times?
New I don't know. York,
or was
New
it
Yorker?
GQ? I don't know who did it. It was an
it was New
like,
Yorker.
Yeah, it was a feature piece where like a writer had spent time with him and asked him directly about certain pieces from his stand-up special and specials. So basically he's a stand-up comedian and he shares anecdotes. And one of them is about how, he, you know, after doing, what was his show on Netflix? It was like a political show. I just can't remember what the name of it was. But anyway, he has a story about how he got sent anthrax to his home, or what he thought was anthrax, and his five-year-old daughter opened it and the white powder went everywhere. So it was sort of an example of, you know, the hate he got or the danger they're in for sharing his opinions. That story is not true, but he used it to great effect.
It's an emotional truth.
It's an emotional truth, which is the way he had it. There was like a bunch of things that just weren't true. And I guess
the worst one being about the woman,
the ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
There was like a girl he was dating, I guess, or had a crush on, was a friend in high school. And he asked her to go to the prom. And then he showed up at the house with the corsage or whatever. And then she couldn't go to the prom with him because the dad didn't want her going with the brown guy. And then when he saw the photo, then she ended up marrying a brown guy, I guess, this is the way he describes the story. Mm. They talked to the ex-girlfriend. She's like, one, that's not true. My dad absolutely like never said that. That's like not true. And I guess they said that he had also, before he had performed the special, invited her and her husband out. And she was like, at first I thought it was like a nice kind of like reconnected. But now she thinks he just wanted to embarrass us that night in the room because he uses her photo, a photo of them. These are the allegations within the story. And when confronted with them, San said, like Max said, these stand-up comedians' job isn't to maybe tell, these are emotional truths. I'm getting to the emotional truth of how I perceive them or felt. And so, yeah, they're not factually true, but it led to a larger conversation.
That's a great way to get out of a kind of a debate with your wife or something. It's an emotional
it's
truth.
An emotional truth.
It's like, why were you drinking till 4 a.m? It was my emotional truth.
Yeah. Why are you being so emotional about my truth? Anyway, so I think that, yeah. So, and then it led to like Whoopi Goldberg on The View, who is a stand-up comedian or former stand-up comedian. She defended his right, or any stand-up's right, to sort of embellish stories, or I guess even make them.
Well, that's stand-up 101. Every single stand-up comedian in the history of stand-up does this exact same thing.
So how do we feel then about it?
Yeah. Like, what are the rules here? Because I think if he wasn't talking about political things and if he didn't come off as sort of sanctimonious and moralistic as he does, which is sort of his role as like the TV on air personality, then I don't think anybody would care. Like lots of comedians just make up random ass stories that are just funny, but because it's all sort of couched in politics and like these and racism and the American experience, like there seems to be some expectation that it is true. Like that there's no fabrication involved. Is that the issue?
Yeah, I think that's why people find it so, like for him in particular, it's kind of like,
he made
it's
this woman
different.
Look bad. Mm-hmm. And this woman was getting bullied online. So that's crossing it. Like you have to bring fictional people into your fake story. You can't bring a real person, make them look bad and have them be attacked online.
Yeah.
And there's something icky about, like, to your point, like, you know, the story of someone sending anthrax to his home and his young daughter opening it and the powder going over, like that story, like, is it meant to manipulate? Is it meant to get like emotional heft? Is he maybe relating a story he read somewhere? So like, it does have an emotional truth to him. Like, I can't speak to those things, but
I think that's what he's doing. He's just combining like the worst experiences from some people that are, you know, Muslims in America and making them all his own story.
Putting it through his prism. Yeah. And so again, to your point though, like I think all of his political sort of like, because his comedy is meant to be, I don't know if the word sanctimonious or political or to make you think or to make you feel, it starts to feel like manipulative. But that being said, like any stand-up is designed that way, you know?
There was that one comedian who said he was worked in the towers when during 9/11.
The guy from The League.
So yeah, he wasn't doing it in a comedic bit. He just flat out lied about that. But I think if you were doing a comedy bit with that premise, that would be crossing the line. It's a tricky thing to know, but I think you know it.
Capitalizing on some sort of tragedy or something kind of sad.
Or people's real lived in experiences and then present them as your own. And then, I mean, ultimately he is profiting off these things. He sells out these arenas and he had the show on Netflix and it is what it is.
I feel the other thing too is that, you know, she puts, so I think a white writer who wrote the piece and now he's not eligible for the Daily Show job. So basically that show kind of made an announcement saying Hassan's not going to be filling in for, what was it, Trevor Noah?
Trevor Noah's leaving. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're kind of like, oh, that kind of sucks. Cause Hassan's kind of good. Like he'd be a good replacement for that, but maybe, you know,
I never liked him. I never found him funny.
Okay. Yeah.
But I didn't like him cause I didn't find him funny, but I found him very arrogant. Like I've listened to him on Armchair Expert and stuff. And he thinks he's very good looking and outwardly he will say that. And that's always off-putting to me. Nothing's wrong with thinking you're good looking, but if you say that out loud, that's very annoying.
Uh-huh. That is annoying.
And it doubly made me feel weird because he was saying Dax was a 6. And then people always say I look like Dax. It felt like such an attack. It's like, you bastard. So yeah, for that reason, I do not like him.
Do you still get Dax a lot?
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, constantly.
Really?
All the time. Yeah. And anytime someone says, oh, you know who you look like, it's never not Dax.
Wow. Yeah.
No, sometimes it's Zach Braff. Yeah, but same thing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. That's really cool.
So lying in comedy, yes or no? Yeah.
I think you could do it as long as you're doing it on stage and people in the audience are like, that's probably a made up story.
Case by case basis. You show me the bit. I'll tell you if it's okay.
Uh-huh. You know when you see it.
I'll know
the anthrax
see
seems crossing the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, using your own little kid to sort of. Anyway, speaking of little kids, I went to a Raptors game with my 5-year-old daughter, Winona.
Mm. I love the story.
It was we were at the art gallery. They were doing some in Hamilton and they were doing some things. So I was like, oh, I was like, when Roberta naps, I'll take her down. Dan's like, yeah, cool. So me and Wynn go to the art gallery. They're doing like sort of like pumpkin sort of design. And they had all these little records that were donated by a record store in Hamilton. I can't remember what it was called. But anyway, and they were painting them. So you got to like paint the records, like kind of like, it was really cool. Anyway, so we're doing that. We leave the gallery after like a couple hours and I was like, let's get some food. And she wanted to go to Electric Diner or whatever. And I'm like, oh, that's back the other way. I'm like, we got to go back up the hill or whatever. She's like, I really want Electric Diner. I'm like, all right, there's one in Hess. We'll try that one. She's like, okay. So I'm like, or, you know, we could go to like Subway over there on Diner. She's like, Subway. I'm like, fucking A, way cheaper. Let's just go to Subway. So as we're pulling into Subway, I get a text from our mutual friend, Simon Jane. He's like, hey, he's like, are you in town? I'm like, I'm not. He's like, oh, I got an extra pair of the Raps tickets if you want a couple tickets. And I was like, oh, no chance. I'm like, I'm with Winona. Actually, hold on. I messaged Dan. I didn't want to call her because obviously Wynn's in the car. And I don't want to be like, can I bring Winona to the game? I was like, hey, this thing just happened. I'm literally right beside the highway to Toronto. But I won't be back till probably like, I don't know, 8:39 or something like that. So it'll be past bedtime and we won't be home. We'll just get food in Toronto. She's like, yeah, go. That'd be like amazing. So me and Wynn, we got on the road. And I was like, do you want to go to the Raptors game? Do you want to just get on the highway right now? And she was like, yes! I was like, great. I'm like, Uncle Greg's probably working. We'll have a good time. Anyway, this is just to get me to this thing where on the way out, we're driving. We're listening to Taylor Swift, her choice, not mine.
Mike.
I do enjoy Taylor Swift. The problem is that like it's all that plays in the house right now. Like,
better than kids music, though, probably.
Yeah, The Wiggles are pretty good, but I agree with you. Taylor is fantastic. I think she's amazing, but you can't play anything else. I'm like, hey, can we just like slide in like a little bit of like, I don't know, Beatles or something? She's like, nope. So anyway, we're driving and she's in the back and I get a text. I'm in a little text group with our former boss, David Johnson. Great guy. And John Popolis is in this text group. We text mostly about Raptors, sometimes like, you know, comedy, whatever, movies he's liked. But because I'm driving, I play it on the speaker because I'm like, oh, it's Dave Johnson. Dave Johnson never sent anything like with a swear word or anything like that. So I'm not worried about what the text is going to say with Winona.
He's an older guy.
100%. So. You know, he's fun, you know, but he's going to play it clean in text for sure. So I start playing the text in the car and it says, a man goes to his proctologist. So immediately I'm like, oh, damn it. This is a joke setup. But like the car is speaking. I'm not going to stop it. And I got Winona in the back. I'm also kind of curious to see where this joke goes. So anyway, I'm going to play it just the way that me and Wynn heard it as we're driving to Toronto and it interrupts the Taylor Swift. And now Wynn is totally listening. And this is how it played in my car here.
A man goes to his proctologist. The doctor says, Greg, don't get an erection this time. When I put a finger in, the patient says, my name's is not Greg. The doctor says, my name is Greg.
That's good. It's He's talking to himself. Yeah.
He gets an erection every time he puts his finger in someone's funny. Butt. So it slayed me. So
I just got it now.
I was laughing so hard, and Wynn could not understand what was so funny because it was just weird. And he's like, "Is he talking about Uncle Greg?" And I was like, "No, no, whatever." And then I just wrote back how funny it was. But anyway, long story long, it was a great time, and that was just a long way of me getting to the point that I was listening to this car on my speakerphone or this joke on my speakerphone in the car.
Was she able to pay attention to the game?
Yeah, she was pretty good. So she's like, we've done one game before, and it's funny. It's like, so that was last year, and that one she got through like a half a quarter where she was kind of into it. And then she was like, can we like walk around a bit, or can we go check that out? And then she would come and chill again. This time we actually like, we got in there, we got a bunch of food. Greg brought some like nice banana bread from like the back room or whatever. And we got through like almost a whole quarter and a half, almost a halftime. And she was chill and cool. Mm-hmm. And then she wanted to go check out like the merch thing, which was this whole other funny thing where she wanted this fucking Raptors bear. So me and Greg are standing in this merch space. There's a Raptors bear. And she's like, Daddy, I love it so much. But I'm trying to chat with Greg. He's, you know, we're just yapping or whatever about life and stuff like that. And I'm like, no, bud. I'm like, you've got too many stuffies and we're just not getting that right now. Like, oh, like it's the end of her life. And I can just see Greg being like, oh, this is why you never fucking have kids. And I'm just like, but because I'm like, you know, I've seen this scene a million times. So I'm very calm. I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry, bud. And she's like, sits there hugging the bear, like, oh, and then she's like, she'll be quiet. And then she'll just be quietly pouting. I'm finishing my conversation with Greg and I'm like, sorry, bud, like maybe for a birthday. She's like, well, my birthday's so far away. I'm like, it's 2 weeks. And she's like crying. And then we leave and it's like a bit of a scene. And then me, Greg, and her now standing like outside of the merch shop. And she keeps like going back in as if she's been separated from like a best friend of 1,000 years. I'm like, no, dude. And then whatever, we had her birthday party yesterday and Uncle Greg came in from Toronto and brought
with
her
the bear,
the little bear,
with the bear.
And she remembered it and she was like overjoyed, almost like happy tears to be reunited.
Are you
with
worried
this
about her acting skills though? She seems to really be putting it on.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all kids. I think they all put on a fucking, I don't know. Does Lucy do that stuff? Put it on?
She does. Yeah. But she turns it off really quick too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I do think it's a mix of authentic. And then like, sometimes if I'm washing her hair in the bath, she'll be like, ah, oh, it hurts. I'm like, it doesn't hurt. She's like, ah. And then it turns into a maniacal laugh. And I'm like, what is going on right now?
You know, what's funny. I've been watching and rewatching, I Think You Should Leave. And I've just come up with the theory that all of Tim Robinson's characters are just impressions of five to eight-year-olds.
Oh yeah.
That's sure. Like every single one is just that. He's like, I'm hungry. We can't skip lunch.
Yeah. That's a good insight. Have you ever thought of that?
100%, because he's very careful to make the person not seem like mentally ill, completely mentally ill. It has a childlike wonder and anger that you don't feel as bad for laughing, you know?
Like, and like whenever he's like making excuses, it's always like a child would make an excuse where there's no real game plan. He was just like, I don't want to go home. It's like, why not? It's like, there's stuff at home I'm scared of. Yeah. It's like, what is it? It's like, there's stuff.
There's like an innocence.
Yeah. It's piping hot. Sir, it's not piping hot. Like,
he's basically doing a child.
He's just doing a child. And like, you know, it's like, the dog ears episode where his hair is like a dog. And he's like, it's like, you have a girlfriend at home? It's like, yeah, but I want two. Like, it's just like, and then like, there's that scene at the boardroom when he's making, he's like, this like pencil's like an airplane. And then people are, and then he keeps on making up different inventing ideas.
Yeah, it's like a little pimp and all
this.
Yeah,
and they're like, don't encourage his imagination.
Yeah.
It's just good stuff. It's great. But your impression of Winona just reminded me of a Tim Robinson sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, no.
Totally. It's, yeah. But it's also funny, too, how parents can be very calm amongst chaos with their children. But like, I used to feel this way when I had buddies. I had friends that had kids well before me. And they'd be like screaming or whatever, just having a meltdown as a 4-year-old would do. You're kind of like, man, like, why don't you do something about it? And it's like, well, sometimes there's really not much. You take them aside, you chat with them, and then sometimes they can't calm themselves and you just get used to the rhythms of that. And she wasn't being like, it wasn't a full scene in there. Like, it was fine. She was just like pouting. And then when I would like, we got to put it back, she was like, no, please. And she was fine, but it was like, you know, whatever. I remember I did that once to my Uncle Dave where I was like, I really wanted a toy, a plastic gun at like the convenience store. We went there to get a chocolate bar. I was probably like, I don't know, 6 or something. And I was like, oh, can I please get the toy gun? He's like, no, we're not getting the toy gun. I was like, please. He's like, no. And I was like, please. He's like, if you ask again, he's like, we're going to leave here and not even get the chocolate bar.
Oh.
I had to try it. I was like, Uncle Dave, please. I remember just grabbing by the arm and he walked me right the fuck out of that convenience store. And then I really lost it because now I wasn't getting the chocolate bar either. But I learned a valuable lesson that day.
Yeah, I'd be into those lessons. If you ever need Uncle Max to come on in, I'll deny him everything.
Once I was at a convenience store when I was like 5 by myself. And
5 years old by yourself.
I live right by a Max Milk. I would buy my mom cigarettes at this convenience store. With notes. Yeah, Mikey did this too. Yeah. Really? And you could be 5 years old with a note and $10, hand it to them. They'd read the note. They'd be like, this isn't your handwriting. It's almost like the younger you were, the easier it was to get away with it. And then you just, give it to your mom. But I was at the store. And I was like, no one's going to notice if I just take one penny candy, because they used to have candies for one penny. So I go to take it. Then I'm like, no, I can't do this. I'm pacing back and forth. And I don't know the guy's got eyes on me the entire time. It's just me and the clerk in the store. And an hour later of me pacing back and forth, I finally do it. And I just run out with the thing. The clerk is waiting at the door already. He knows what I'm doing. Stops me. Called the cops. The cops came.
Stop it.
Yes. And my mom's boyfriend at the time was also a police officer. And he came and he pulls out the cuffs like he's going to cuff me. I was so traumatized. They were teaching me this big lesson. It made me so freaked out, though, about ever stealing anything.
Lesson learned.
Yeah, 100%.
Have you stolen since?
Intense.
I would only steal from my, like, I used to take loonies from my sister's purse to play video games. Like there was a movie store around the corner from my house that had Street Fighter. So I'd take loonies and, steal.
Have you stolen from a store lately?
I've never stolen from a store or anything. I can't do it. I'm so worried about the police.
Yeah.
Busting me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like you steal. Well, you're acting.
Have I stolen? It feels like I probably have. Something like, what have I? Oh, I feel like in like university, when we go grocery shopping, oh, this is what we do. This is bad. Mm. But we do a big grocery shop, and sometimes I'd grab something to eat while I was grocery shopping, like I don't know, like a bag of chips or something like that, or a chocolate bar, and I'd eat it while we were doing it.
But then you pay for it after.
No.
Oh, okay.
You just eat it in the store and leave.
Yeah.
We used to, last time I remember stealing, like intentionally.
You know what? Like big grocery stores, they got enough money. You seen their profits lately?
Killing it. Inflation, baby. We used to go, there's a thing called Midnight Madness at Limeridge Mall.
That was always fun.
In Hamilton. Yeah. It was always around Christmas time. And they would have bins out with just clothes and fucking everything. And me and my little crew of misfits would always go to Midnight Madness where the mall was packed. We would just load up on like clothes, go to Randy River, steal a sweater.
Whoa.
And then we'd just all walk out like it late, like at the end of the night, we all had like 4.
And you never got busted.
Never got caught. No. Wow. It's so crazy. They weren't paying attention. And it's like, you always realize too, like these, what, like some clerk at the mall that's like 14, you're like, sir, come back with that sweater. It's like, they don't, they're not fighting the good fight. You just can fucking leave. And
honestly, I really feel for some guys that like work in like a 7-Eleven or some convenience stores down here on Queen Street, like that have like a lot of unwell people that are like rolling through at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
The idea of like piping up and like defending the honor of the store when someone who's like clearly a little unwell is like just stealing stuff. There's nothing worth it. So you're going to go take it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like these. Yeah. Any staff that like throws their body in defense of the product.
What if it's a normal person? Like a guy like you walks in and you just blatantly like, I'm stealing this.
Yeah. Well, then I think you try to yell at me. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Really funny story you're forgetting. Like a week ago, we were in Denver. And
this is a week ago?
We were in the CVS in Denver, and these like textbook teenagers that would shoplift are shoplifting all this shit. And Max is kind of in the double doors about to leave. He's already paid. And they're running out of time. So they just burst through the doors past him and drop some stuff. And he picks them up and is like, oh, you... You dropped your thing.
You dropped them. Oh, yeah, cool. Because I wasn't really paying attention. So a guy, someone shuffled out of there quickly and dropped a thing. I'm like, oh, you dropped something. And then they just kept walking. I'm like, oh, you're stealing this. Never mind.
It's like Jim Carrey with the briefcase in Dumb and Dumber. Yes,
yeah.
You forgot your briefcase, but they left it at the airport intentionally.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you dropped it. No, you're stealing. Never mind.
That's great.
Yeah.
Man, so I don't know. Gal is amazing. You're back from tour. Shane, what's been going on with you?
Well, let's hear about the tour. Nothing's really going on. Me,
we're
going to
wrap
Kibben
this up.
Story.
We've been doing this for an hour.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, cool. How was the tour? Just good or bad?
Good.
There you go. All right.
There you have it, folks. You come here for the good inside stuff with the Arkells. You know the tour was good.
Good.
Want to wrap it?
Yeah, let's wrap it.
All right. I heard that our Uber Eats ads went to air.
Ooh.
In the latest episode.
I got to listen.
Yeah. Well, you probably heard them in this episode too, folks. And I hope you enjoyed them. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all. That is our episode. Thank you so much to Manager Ash. Thank you so much to Nathan Nash, who, by the way, I saw on the weekend because my daughter won a pumpkin carving contest at your bar, Odds.
Yeah, he's killing it. She's killing it. Everyone's killing it.
Yeah, we're all winners.
Was the pumpkin really deserving of winning, though, Mike?
That's a great question. I think she was just the kid that was there the longest outside of Nathan's kids.
And the best give it to pumpkin Nathan's was kids. The one with the tongue hanging out. Like, Winnie doesn't listen to this pod, right?
No.
That was not deserving of the number one prize.
I think that there's maybe something there.
Yeah.
To what you're suggesting. But we still took the basket of like full chocolate bars and all that.
Full chocolate.
Yeah, she posed for the photos. But yeah, it was a good time. Like I said, thank you to Nathan Nash. Thank you to Manager Ash. Thank you to the listeners for listening. This was a great hang. Maybe the best.